I greet you all in the blessed name of our risen and triumphant Lord Jesus, the soon coming King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I found this morning that this is my second visit here this year. I thought I had been here more often, but this is second, and I'm very pleased to be here. Now turn with me, please, to the scripture text in Romans chapter 1. Romans 1, just three verses, verse 26 to 28. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one to another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet or appropriate. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, unable to discern between good and evil, and to do those things which are not convenient. Amen. I've entitled this morning's message, The Family Under Siege, and I refer to your family. Don't be shocked if I personalize it and address this as a threat to your family, which is now the threat at large. You may wonder what I am talking about. What threat? Well, times are no longer as before. As before, years ago, families were families. Today, no longer. Are you surprised? Shocked? The family was ordained of God. Man did not invent it, but God made man. And then out of man came woman. And God brought the woman to the man and says, here you are. The two of you form one unit of society. Until death parts that partnership. Is that so today? It is. And yet it is not. I had a friend come from London. And it says, in my firm, there are 10 employees. 8 of them just live with their partners. Don't get married. No need to. It's now the custom, fashionable. Why? So fussy. Now that is a modern trend today. Just live together. Oh, my dear friends. These are some of the problems that confront modern living, modern life. We must be aware of what is happening around us. Some years ago in Singapore, we had a commotion of the group called the Aware Group. Now, you all recall that it was in the news for a couple of weeks. A group of people were going around the schools teaching sex education and equating gay partnership as normal, with the normal, until the whole thing was exploded. I refer you to happenings elsewhere, further afield. Please understand, we live in a very different time, a different world today. In the old days, we communicate with telegrams. Today everybody takes a handphone and talks around the world. It's a very different society. Please realize it. In America, Christian News, a newspaper I subscribe to, August 10th, 2009, says, Obama, the president, celebrating Gay Pride Month at the White House. You understand what the White House is? The most famous residence of the president. And then he was celebrating Gay Pride Month with his staff and invited guests, among whom were the top gay clergy, Episcopal, or that is the Church of England in America, Bishop Robinson, notorious gay. And he said, during my administration, sitting here in the White House, it is my hope that I can change the thinking of the American people. Today, if you take a vote, probably majority are still against the acceptance of gays. But it is his hope. Did you know? Did those people who voted for him know? But now it is too late to change. But he says, I will use my office of president to change so that people will all accept gays as decent and normal people. You know that once upon a time, to be found out as a gay was a crime punishable by imprisonment. In 1956, when I went to England for my higher studies, and visiting the hospitals, I found that the professor there, who had been our external examiner in Singapore, had committed suicide. Amazing professor. He was not old. It doesn't need to be old to commit suicide. But he was found out to be a gay. And he couldn't face society, because in those days, you go to jail in England, no more. Because the Wolfenden Commission studied the whole matter and said, now it is acceptable to be a gay and to practice homosexuality between consenting adults. It's all right. Poor man, he committed suicide before he knew this bill was coming out and things were going to change. Things do change. What used to be a terrible crime today is called pride of life. If you are found, you say, wonderful, you're with us, one of us. I hope I don't speak to some here who have fallen into the trap of this gayism. It is not gay. It is a horrible, horrible sin. It is rebellion against the Word of God. And also, President Obama says, also we will work to repeal the Defense of Marriage Act, the law which protects marriage, to be abolished. So that happens in America. Please understand, America is the trendsetter in all the world in the last century or so. Whatever happens there will happen here. You do not have to worry that it doesn't come here fast enough. Where did the genes come from? America. Why is everybody drinking Coke? America. And 100 and other things. Lifestyle changes because it started in America. America is a world leader in all these ways, and including lifestyle. So it's coming. So do you think Singapore will go gay? Today, not yet. MM was asked, what about your opinion? He smiled. He didn't say yes or no. But the writing is on the wall. It will come. It all depends on public opinion. And public opinion will swing. Today, Singapore society is very different from before. The social revolution came with the television. Because of television, everybody has access to all kinds of cultural trends. Understand this. Some people revolt against the television set. They take their sets and throw it away. No more television. Ah, worse than television has come, and you have no way to get rid of it. What is it? Computer. What child can today go to school without computer? Everybody carries computer. And you say, what do you do in your room till 2 a.m.? Study law. What can you do? An English paper says, parents, wake up. You must have surveillance on your children. In other words, father and mother, you be policemen for your children. When they study, all the time look over their shoulder, say, hey, what are you looking at? I said, that is self-defeating. Children will promise you and do all kinds of things and okay, we'll behave. But children are not children forever. And very soon they outgrow parental supervision. What must we do? In UK, England, we were part of England once, do you understand? Most of us today don't understand what is colonialism. You live under British rule. And yes sir, three bags full is to the English administrator. Now what do they say today? Buses go round London with big placards saying, there may be no God. That's all it says. And everybody reads, maybe no God. Maybe, yeah. No God, no. So this is going around to promote atheism. Atheism today is being taught in all the schools, universities, society. When they talk of, we discovered this thing and it is 150 million years old, do you believe it? And they speak with authority. And you see in the Bible, the world is now 6,000 years old. What a great difference. Who is right? But everybody says so. So it is so. Atheism. So in Britain, it is atheism. A survey in England shows pornography is a disease of society. Young people between so and certain ages, majority indulge in pornography. What is it? Dirty films and dirty things on the computer. You don't have to tell them how to get there. They all understand how to get there. And they all understand to use it. And it is addictive. Worse than alcohol, you know. Once you're hooked, you go back. And it is exciting, but it is there and you can do nothing about it. What must we do? Parents become policemen? No, it is not our job to be policemen. You want to be disciplinarian? Start with your child when the child is born until 3, 4, 5. If you have not taught the child discipline, it's too late already. Too late. Understand. And yet Christian parents today do nothing. I was in Australia living with a family. Early in the morning the television is on.
young children sit there. Because they don't have amas to look after them. So father, mother, mommy is busy. You sit there and television look after you. All the filth out of television, the child looks, and it is amusing, interesting, captivating. Sit there and drinking all the filth and rubbish. And so a child is being fed with television. Where today, no, not necessary. Even handphones have become tools of iniquity. Who knows? I don't know what comes through handphones nowadays, but it is said to be so. And all kinds of other electronic gadgets held in the palm can carry visions and television, everything. Now come to Singapore. August 2009. This correspondent called Serene Goh. I quote names, so in case she may be a friend of some of you. And she says, today, sex is common knowledge among children in schools. Common knowledge. By the time a child is 12, that child, because of computer knowledge and use of these chat rooms and so on and so forth, could be already twice married. In fiction, of course, not actually. But by this instrument, twice married. At 12, this has become a game today. And virginity is no longer a premium. Nothing to treasure about. How sad it is that God gave to us a body that is to be sanctified for His use, to glorify His name, to live as children of God and not children of society, to be filled with the filth of the world no longer. Now, children at 15, if they're still virgins, abnormal in the modern thinking. This is in Straits Times. Well, I've told you enough to shock you all. But these are the hard facts of life, and you say, I don't think so, lah. Never mind, just ostrich, put your head in the sand and say, nothing's happening, all is well. I say, you wake up one day and say, all is not well. So it is, we are living in that world today, and it does not get better. Turn to Genesis chapter 19. After all that I've said, you say, oh, that's a modern curse. I want to inform you that it is as old as Genesis chapter 19, as old as creation. Genesis chapter 19. Reading from verse 4, now we are going back almost 4,000 years, long time ago. So don't think that this gay pride is so modern. It is not modern. It is the oldest sin now modernized and practiced in modern society and infecting normal people, no more normal. And two angels were visiting the city of Sodom. Where is the city of Sodom today? Those of you who have been to the Holy Land and been to the Dead Sea, you do not see Sodom there, but the remnants of Sodom buried in the salt sand in the shores of the Dead Sea. Archaeologists digging, they found ancient cities during the time when God rained fire and brimstone from heaven. The whole place sank down, and they uncovered sex shops and houses full of sex instruments where the old Sodom had been. Uncovered today. That's where Sodom is. Next visit to Holy Land, look out there by the Dead Sea. And that is the place where Sodom was. And that is the place where Lot moved to after he quarreled with his uncle. And the uncle says, Lot, let's not argue. Your workmen, your laborers want the best. You choose, you choose. Yes, uncle let you choose. If you go left, I go right. If you want right, I go left. You take first. Lot saw the plains of the Jordan River, green and lush and fertile. He said, uncle, I want that. Welcome, you can go there. Abraham remained on the rugged hills of Canaan, and there he served the Lord. And the nephew went right down to the shores of the Jordan River, very fertile. That's where I like. And he lived the rest of his life there until God sent two angels. Here is two angels now. Genesis chapter 19. Come to visit Sodom to see. We've heard reports in heaven, reports that come up to the heavenly courts, that enormous sins are being enacted in the city of Sodom. Today you can say enormous sins are being enacted in the city of Singapore. Possible. Why not? In the days to come, it will become a Sodom. The whole world will become a Sodom. And there these two angels met Lot. And Lot was a very hospitable man. In fact, he was a Christian, except he was caught in that, and he chose it, and he got to suffer there. So even though you think you are Christian and choose to live among that kind of society, you are going to get infected. So he invited the two angels. Please don't. Of course, he didn't understand that they were angels. Please stay. Stay with me tonight. It's not safe to go into the streets. Verse 4. Before they lay down, the men of the city heard that the two young men, very good looking and victims for their lusts, so they came. They surrounded the house, both old and young, all the people of every quarter, and they called to Lot and said to him, where are the men you came to you in the night? Bring them out that we may commit. He says here, we may know them. Meaning to say that we may commit gang rape. You know what is gang rape? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 men catch hold of some young girl and commit a big crime. So these men of Sodom surrounded the house of Lot and said, we demand that you take those two young men out that we may commit gang rape. Verse 6, and Lot went out of the door and shut the door after him and pleaded with them. You know what an awful, awful offer he made. If you must have this kind of lust, take my two daughters. They are virgins and you can have them. How awful, how awful. That he didn't even value their daughters, his own daughters. Anyhow, the men did not accept. What did they say? Verse 9. Stand back. And they said to him, this one fellow, you Lot, came into sojourn. You were only a visitor and he stayed on here. And now you try to be a judge to tell us what to do, what not to do. Now we will deal worse with ye than with them. And they pressed so upon the man, even Lot, almost breaking the door. You know, when the fire of sex is burning, men become animals. truly, worse than the animals, far worse than the worst beasts. But they did not know that they were dealing with angels. You know what that angels? Do you see them nowadays? No. I don't think we see them today. But they are very real. They are messengers, servants of God. And they are empowered. They have mighty power. Far greater than any man. And they have power to cast blindness. And this is what happened. And they struck, verse 11, struck the man at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, and they wearied themselves to find the door. Amazing. Now, verse 15, come the climax of the episode. When the morning was arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take your wife, your two daughters, lest you be consumed. And verse 16, while they lingered, the man laid hold of the hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and the two daughters, the Lord being merciful to them, brought them forth, and then dragged them and ran for their lives to escape the coming calamity of the first judgment on homosexuality. Dear friends, these things are recorded not for our amusement, but for a warning. What God has done, He can yet do. And what God had done at that time on the scale of certain cities in Israel that were destroyed by that great shower of fire and brimstone, all of them covered over with in one fell shot. All the sinners were destroyed under fire. Verse 23. And the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord raised rain upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Our God is a God of grace to all those who repent and turn to Him. And thank God He has been gracious to you and to me to allow us opportunity to believe and to escape the wrath to come. But for those who rebel, and even that one night attempted to gang rape two angels, how they ask for God's judgment. And today, you think there is any difference? Some people laugh and say, where is God? They do not know and do not understand. God is gracious and long-suffering, not willing that all that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Today, the judgment has not fallen on planet Earth yet. It is coming. The next judgment is attested to by the first judgment. What is the first judgment? The judgment on the whole globe at the time of Noah. Do you believe in the global flood? You don't believe? Just go to the Rocky Mountain. Go to Arizona. Look at the Grand Canyon. All the evidence by the 250,000 miles of evidence everywhere saying this is the aftermath of the flood. All the Grand Canyon, all the mountains, all the stratified Rocky Mountains, all the mountain rocks were laid down. That kind of evidence, every time you pump your car with petrol. Where does the petrol come from? Petroleum. Stone oil. Petra is stone. Oil is oleum. Petroleum. Where did it come from? When God flooded out the whole world with a great catastrophic flood, all the trees went down first and the sediments came on top. That became the stratified rocks on top of the trees, and the trees underneath in a special chamber of pressure and temperature were converted into gas, oil and coal. Amazing. Don't you understand this? So every time you see, every time you pump petrol, remind yourself, the Lord flooded out the whole world. All except those eight. That's why in China, they invented the word for ship or boat. Eight people in a sailing craft. Why eight people? Why eight? Amazing, isn't it? That evidence is irrefutable. The Chinese knew it. Noah, three sons, four men, four wives, eight people in a craft. Never forget. Thank God we have that Chinese word. And all these tell us, turn now to Luke's Gospel chapter 17. Luke's Gospel chapter 17. And may God speak to you, to anyone here who may be infected with the germ, with the cancer of gayism, thinking it is so fun. Take note. Luke's Gospel chapter 17 verse 28. Likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drink, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. No exception. But in the next judgment, God is going to use fire again. There will be no escape because the whole world will be on fire. Planet Earth. Where is the escape? Verse 30. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. There will be a judgment by fire. What is the answer to all these? What must we do? Romans 13. In conclusion, Romans 13. May God's word speak to you. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. And that knowing the time, now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. What is the salvation which is nearer than when we believe? When did you believe in Jesus Christ? When did I believe? 50 years ago? 10 years ago? Whatever time. Now you are nearer salvation. What is the salvation? The salvation is Jesus is coming again. For us it is salvation. For the world it is judgment. For the unbelievers it is judgment. So what must we do? Go and tell them. Discipline your own family before the Lord. Bring them all to Christ, that they may believe and escape the wrath to come. Verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, not in drunkenness. We have spoken much at Calvary. Young people, do not follow the crowd to drink. You say, it's nothing, just drink a bit for fun. For fun, that fun will lead you eventually to great disaster. You understand? So why follow the world and be judged in the day to come? Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. All these things are what the world does. Today we have IR. Sentosa is the fun land. Everybody's flocking there. No matter what you need to pay, doesn't matter. Money is not the problem. It must be there. It is fun. It's fun. It's fun. These are the things that captivate. But coming to church, oh, every week I must come. Can't they help? That kind of attitude, please get rid of it. Confess our sin of cold-heartedness. As though you're coming here to pay a courtesy call, you know, that God will suffer if you don't come. Oh, dear friends, awake. It says here, it's high time. High time. What we have not done, which we ought to have done, now do. And catch up. I brought with me here 3 aids for families. This book, planned and designed and printed at great cost for you, is available at your book table outside. $1. It cost me dozens of hours of my time to just compile together this and compose all those family worship notes. How to conduct family worship? You say, I don't know how. I say, you know how to eat rice? You know. How did you come to know how to eat rice? This is simpler than eating rice. Gather your family. And before the Lord comes, catch up with lost time. Oh, dear friends, if the Lord came to suffer on the cross, to hang there for you and for me, to save us from everlasting punishment, to lead your children and yourself before the Lord once a day, is it too much? I don't know how, you say. I have no time. I'm too busy. Wait until the Lord comes and you say, Lord, I'm still too busy. Too bad. Family worship. Get your book from there. This one for mothers of young children. Songs my mother taught me. Why don't you spend some time teaching your children, not about folk stories and fictions, but how to love the Lord. Hymns of faith. All these are special offers. See your book room, book table. Once again, family worship. Hymns of faith. Again, these are specially selected for family worship. And for mothers of young children, songs my mother taught me. What must we do? Trying to be policeman to your children does not help. Or trying to be policeman of yourself does not help. What we must do is to learn from the Word of God. If Daniel could do it when he was carried away captive and exiled into Babylon, far from his hometown. And there he says, I purpose in my heart, I will live a Christian life. Different from the people of Babylon. Come what may. Fiery furnace? Doesn't matter. Den of lions? Doesn't matter. My God first. He went to the den of lions. God shut the mouths of the lions. Be a Daniel, be a Joseph. Joseph was sold away by his brethren into Egypt. And there, ideal for any kind of sins of sex. The boss has gone to work every day, leaving the home in his charge and the wife there all the time, pleading with him. Why not? We carry on, nobody knows. Ideal. Why not? What did Joseph say? How can I, a Christian, sin against my God? It doesn't make sense. I believe in God. I believe in my Lord Jesus who died for me. Can you say this? when temptation comes, and say no to temptation because I am a Christian. Be a Joseph, and because of that, he went to prison. And from the prison, God elevated him to the court of Pharaoh, to be the number two ruler next to Pharaoh. God can do great things for you. Be a Paul. Paul could have been a very successful society person. And he says, I have suffered the loss of all things. All my status, my money, my family, my birthright, everything taken away. All I need is Christ and Him crucified. Yeah. Be a Paul, because in the final, Paul had everything that is worth having. For to me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. I don't live for the pleasure of a night, for the pleasure of a day, for the pleasure of a life of ease and plenty, growing richer and enjoying the things of the world. No, dear friends, those things have a limit. The Lord is coming. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, speak to our hearts that we may understand what is the meaning of believing in Jesus Christ. It is not just for namesake, or for convenience, or for the advantage of a moment, but it is to escape the wrath to come and to know that we are children of God, members of the family of Jesus Christ, a heavenly people. For truly our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall come and change our vile, perishable, mortal bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body according to His power. The power of God that raised Jesus from the dead shall change us when He comes. O Lord, speak to Your people that all here who name the name of Christ will resolve to live for Him. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.